The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it's available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines and a senior advisor to healthcare.com. And then he goes off and he's a patient. So...
Yeah, pretty often, actually.
So with all that in mind, we can say safely that you know what you're talking about. I'm going to go on record and say, guy knows what he's talking about. So what happened this time?
Well, I had a really crazy week. We all know about the snowstorm and the rest of that. But this is the week I had to change my pacemaker. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, obviously. I've had this pacemaker for 10 years, but over time, the battery just literally wears down. So I had to go down to New York Presbyterian, New York City. A nice friendly doctor just cuts open this little flap on my chest, just enough to get the pacemaker out. Now it's attached by two little wires to my heart. You gotta unhook that. They pop in a new pacemaker, put the little wires back in place, and sew me back up, and out I go. It's all outpatient. You don't spend an overnight in the hospital, but it turns into a three-day saga. Now, I had to go in Monday. I had to get my blood work, right, make sure I'm healthy. I also had to get tested for COVID. Now, that was not a problem. You just go to, and Presbyterian is now this sprawling complex over multiple streets on the east side of Manhattan. You went from one building to the next, but there were no lines, what have you. So the test went very easily on Monday. On Tuesday, I needed, get this, Joe, I needed five vaccinations. Five in one day. Because I had a stem cell transplant. Now, that's more than 3 years ago. But it left me, essentially, you wipe out your immune system and you get a new immune system. So I had this baby immune system. So I needed all my baby shots. So I needed my measles booster. I needed polio. I needed pneumonia. I'm forgetting some. But I needed tetanus. Now, tetanus goes into the muscle. That one actually hurt. But I was a pincushion. I was Band-Aids all over the place. I asked for a lollipop, but the nurse just laughed at me. I didn't get a lollipop. My little granddaughter got a lollipop. I got laughed at.
That's not fair. But what I'm amazed at, just stopping right there, is that they would give all those vaccinations simultaneously?
Yeah, I was there. Okay. Five of them as once. Bum, 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 bum. Then on Wednesday, I was supposed to show up at 6:45. I set my alarm for 6, dozed off. So
it was probably the vaccinations.
You know, you do what you can do. I mean, anyway, I got there. They were fine. So they prepped me up, and they gave me a sedative. It's not a general anesthesia, right? This is just an outpatient procedure. But I did ask them. I said, hey, look, you know, give me the extra dose. I'd just be happy to just doze out and, wake me up when it's over. And they wheeled me in, and I wasn't asleep. And I figured, hey, it'll kick in any minute. But I was feeling very comfortable. Now, that reminds me of a joke. Now, Teddy Bergman, his father is Andy Bergman, the guy who wrote Blazing Saddles, so, you know, comedy runs in the family. So Teddy Bergman is 4 years old, and he's going in for tonsillitis or something really minor. He's on the gurney, and doctors are wheeling him in, and Teddy says to the doctor, ask me if I'm comfortable. And the doctor says, are you comfortable? And Teddy says, I make a living.
Oh, vaudeville. I'm so excited. That's good.
Teddy Bergman, if we're your choice. So there I was, you know, some years later. I was comfortable, but I wasn't out. So the doctor, Steve Markowitz, nice guy, starts asking me questions while he's operating on me. So he says, you know, I know you wrote that first book. Aren't you going to write another book? And I said, well, you know, I've been thinking about writing a book about the clinical trial I had. That's 3 years ago. I came out cancer-free. I had fevers. But that was a small price to pay. And, you know, and I'm telling him my story. And he's asking me more questions, and I'm telling him more story. So anyway, we're chatting and chatting. Meanwhile, I hear him saying to his assistants stuff like, that wire over there, it's a little calcified. We got to clean that thing up before we... And things like, I think I can fit the pacemaker. Hold on, let me try to get it in there. Finally, I hear, okay, let's sew them up. And then I can feel the stitches, right? I mean, it wasn't painful, but I wasn't asleep either. Anyway, it took about an hour. I'm a little sore. I'm fine. And my pacemaker actually, I think, is working very well. I have less shortness of breath than I was experienced before. The battery just kind of wears down. I wasn't getting as much oomph as I wanted in my heart. Jill, have you ever had an experience like that where the doctor's talking to you and the procedure's going on and you're not fully asleep?
No, I haven't, but I know about them, and I can't remember whether Marshall has had one or not. It's the sort of...
I had one. I had an angiogram where I could actually, I watched on the screen while they put a wire, actually starts in your thigh and goes right on up. And I was watching on the screen as the probe went into each valve of the heart. And the doctor saying, okay, this one's clean. And then you see the probe to another heart. And you're like, it's not like, you're like watching TV, right? It's not like you're saying, what? Stop that, you nut. What are you doing? anyway, look, I'm always a reporter, right? Work, work, work. So I'm asking the nurses that I'm seeing, and I'm seeing plenty of nurses, I'm asking them about their attitudes toward the COVID vaccine. And this surprised me because more than one of them, really three or four of them, said they were not eager to get the vaccine. They said, nope, look, if it's mandatory and I need it for work, then okay, then I'll go and do it. And another one said, New York Presbyterian says it's optional, and as long as it's optional, I'm going to wait to see what happens with the people who get this. So I was surprised by that. Now, these are nurses who are not in COVID units that I was dealing with. This was essentially outpatient nurses, but the hospitals are filling up, and these nurses are getting transferred around. They could be in the COVID unit tomorrow. They don't know that. But they're not eager to, the nurses I talked to, and it was unanimous, were not eager to get the shot. So that was interesting and not very reassuring, frankly.
Well, there was also I believe it was yesterday, some healthcare workers. This was CBS Dallas, I believe, and we can look into it a little bit further. But it didn't look like they were really getting their shot. It didn't look like they were getting shots, and it also there's some flu. I mean, some people are getting flu shots. It's interesting. I think that we're going to put you on assignment in the midst of all of this, for you to talk to people and just see what they, you know, what their view is. Mostly because what seems to be the prevailing theme is yes, great, fantastic, and let's see. Yes, emergency use, and that's great. Again, but not a lot of information on what and how it works, and we're
no. That's exactly right. It's up in the air. Now we know the vaccines have gone to the states. We know there's about 25%, maybe 30% of the population that says I don't want this vaccine. I don't like vaccines. I'm not going to take this vaccine. Now, if you can get it below 30, you can get the whole community immunized and we'll be okay. But it's going to be close. And the frontline workers, yes, for sure. The essential workers, as you know, cops and teachers, I would put them in that category. Nursing home residents, for sure. They're all going to be in the front of the line. Then you get to this area of 100 million or so people with underlying conditions. It's especially people over 65. That's me. I'm waving my hand. I'll take the shot as fast as I can get it. Now is no one can answer this question for me, and I'm asking it, okay? You're over 65. I've got an underlying condition. Where can I go get my shot? Now, the vaccines are being allocated to the states. Then it's up to the states to administer the vaccines. Okay, but here's a very common. I live in Connecticut, but I'm treated in New York City. That's where my doctor is. That's the doctor who knows about my underlying conditions and the one who's giving me five vaccinations in a day. and changing my pacemaker. Do I have to get my shot at the CVS in Connecticut, or can I go down to New York Presbyterian or Memorial Sloan Kettering, where I have doctors in both places, and get my shot there? No one can answer that question for me yet.
That's interesting, because I would have thought
they say they haven't discussed it yet. It's not nailed down. So, you know, it's going to, if we want to get to people like 100 million people with underlying conditions, and they want to do that by January or February, we're already late in December. A lot has to get decided, allocated, nurses prepared, all the syringes bought. There's a lot to get this done in a timely way. And with 3,000 people dying a day, there's a tremendous urgency here. So the Biden administration is going to walk into a situation that is not nearly as pinned down as one would hope. So, Jill, what are you going to do? Are you just going to wait?
Well, all right, here's my issue with it. So far, the numbers that I'm seeing, CDC has just redone their numbers, and they have now comprised pneumonia, flu, and COVID in terms of that's now a category of, and the amount of the percentage of COVID deaths is about 2% of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I am I'm taking a pass on the whole thing because that's where I'm at.
Okay.
The underlying conditions. I mean, I certainly fit in the age group, but the underlying conditions are not a thing. And you know, a 99.97 survival rate is fine with me.
Okay.
If you know, again,
a lot of people are going to come to that conclusion.
But for underlying conditions, you know, then that is a complete. What I'm trying to say is it's a completely different assessment. So I don't, you know,
yeah.
I'm just answering a personal question, and
yeah.
You know, and like that there. But
okay, well, the other thing that's going on with the hospitals and which are obviously getting crowded with COVID patients is this whole question of what you should do about your preventive and elective procedures. So this thing has kind of gotten flipped on the head. The advice on elective procedures, and my pacemaker was essentially an elective procedure, right? I could wait a while. I could wait months. I did wait months. As it was wearing down, I still could wait. At a certain point, and you can do the same thing with hip replacement or a knee replacement. You can wait.
Yeah, but there's a point.
Physical therapy. You can. But at a certain point, elective becomes urgent. Then you must do it. Now, if you can wait until the summer when there's herd immunity in the country, that would be a very good idea. Don't go into a hospital. But if you can't, then that becomes urgent care. Now, in the meantime, people are not getting their preventive screenings. They're just not going near the doctor or the hospital. So what are we talking about? There are 30 most common preventive screenings that people are just not doing, like blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol tests, cancer screenings, including mammograms and colonoscopies, counseling for quitting smoking, losing weight, eating right, treating depression, so important at this time, reducing substance and alcohol abuse, which is also related to the isolation of COVID, and regular well-baby care. All of that is being put off. Something like one adult in 10 over 35, one adult in 10 gets all of his or her recommended preventive services. Men are terrible, you know, much worse than women. Nearly 10% of men don't get any preventive care. So here's what I say to you. Yes, if you're facing an elective procedure, put it off for as long as you can until this COVID wave passes. That's probably into the summer if you possibly can. But go get your preventive services. You can call, if you're a Medicare patient, you can call 1-800-MEDICARE, and they'll tell you what preventive services you can get. They come at no extra cost if you have any insurance at all. No extra cost. It's just a matter of making an appointment with a doctor, going in, getting the screening, and then being healthy and being protected.
And I'm going
so
to
all that I think makes sense.
In this one, I couldn't agree more. I'm going to interject. We're out of time. But basically what I'm going to say is, you know, that basic care, that basic stuff, the preventive stuff, figure out a way. You can be creative. But if it's that's not something that should be let lie. It's just it's got to get done.
No, that's consider preventive urgent. Consider elective until it's urgent.
Right.
Okay? And I would say one more thing. Get your COVID shot.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available in store, online, and on my desk.